Welcome, everybody, to the WP Candy Roundtable Podcast, episode number 2. Turns out people kind of like this idea, because we're going at a second week. We'll see if we make it a third. But I am excited this week to be joined by the Buddy Press core team. John James Jacoby, actually probably more known as J-Trip than anything else, Boone Gorges, and Paul Gibbs. Hi, guys.
Hi. How you doing?
Hello.
J-Trip, Boone, and Paul, once again, I appreciate you guys joining all of us on the stream and the chat room and all of that. And, my first question, I guess, because I want to try to skip, too many of sort of the prerequisites for this, because hopefully, people interested in this chat will want to hear, you know, non-introductory stuff, right? So let's assume people kind of know who you are. Let's assume that they're users of Buddy Press. They're interested in this topic. And the first question that I wonder is what's the pecking order with the Buddy Press commit team? Like who breaks ties? Who makes those decisions? Aside from obviously, you know, John is the leader, but who's really the leader is what I want to know.
we all try to be pretty diplomatic, I think. Mm-hmm. And we all sort of end up owning a lot of different things for each different release cycle. I pretty much have owned the forums for the past 6 months, hence why there is no 1.6 yet. But but I'll let the other guys talk a little bit more about what they do.
It's like John said, it's kind of naturally evolved, you know, because Buddy Press isn't our full-time jobs. You know, well, sure. I mean, at least working on core isn't really our full-time jobs. So we have to sort of sneak things in where we can. And as a result, I think we all sort of, over the last year or so, really settled into the areas that we've been interested in working on. So for this cycle, I have been working a lot on efficiency and scaling. So there have been some places, some real pain points in Buddy Press when you started talking about hundreds of thousands of users, millions or tens of millions of activity items. And so really cleaning that up and making it possible to run really large sites has been one of my big focuses for this go round.
Cool. So about sort of, I quite like that it's not a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always been that way since I've been contributing my earliest patches when Andy Peatin was running the show. And we've grown as a pretty solid team across the last year or so, and it's been good.
Yeah, one of the things I've always like sort of wanted for Buddy Press is for us to all sort of own a specific section of it, so that we can be real familiar and intimate with at least like one of the components, because there's a lot of code to sort of keep track of. So, I mean, with 1.5 for me, I picked the extended profile and redesigned some of that. And Boone put a lot of work into the wizard and being able to sort of focus on one specific thing, not really unlike the way that WordPress core kind of tries to do things too. It seems to work pretty well for them. So we've tried to mirror as much of what they are successful with, as we can, really.
And would you guys say that it's fair to, describe Buddy Press as being in the sort of the place growth and project wise that maybe WordPress was at like 1.5 or something like that, that it's kind of in that almost pre-boom stage?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it wasn't really until Buddy Press was able to work on like WordPress single site, mm-hmm. Where I think it really started to get any momentum when it was MU only, pre 3.0, pre-merge, that our audience was just so small, and the requirements for running Buddy Press were just so strict, and we ended up sort of making a ton of compromises with Buddy Press to make it work on single site. Mm-hmm. But I think that having made those decisions is sort of what made Buddy Press a little bit more of like a viable alternative for most people to use, instead of it just being this like archaic MU plugin only sort of group of weird little plugins that all depended on each other. So I think since then, I think it's probably got a lot of momentum. What about you guys? I'm not sure. Maybe you have a different opinion, hopefully.
Well, I haven't been working WordPress long enough I started working at WordPress in about 2.6 or 2.7, so I don't have the long view. But I will say that, you know, I think that one of the it's not just about the software itself; it's about the community and the community of developers around it. And you know, one of the things that obviously makes WordPress work the way that it does is that it's got a lot of people who are using it for, you know, their paying gigs and who are building extensions for it, and that feeds back into WordPress, right? Because WordPress then has to develop a richer API for getting interactions from other plugins and stuff like that. So I think BuddyPress has really come a long way in that regard in the past, you know, year, past version or two, because totally. we've been refactoring internally, not just for the sake of refactoring, but really for the sake of making the code more stable and readable for developers coming into it, making it more easily extensible. So, I mean, if you want to compare that trajectory of WordPress getting, you know, if you look at, I've seen these charts before where they talk about the number of hooks and actions or hooks and filters inside of each version of WordPress and how it kind of skyrockets at a certain point. I feel like BuddyPress is, in a way, kind of, you know, this is a meaty part of the curve for BuddyPress, because we're really, I think, building internal tools like the BP component class that John put together for BuddyPress 1.5. Those sorts of tools are really going to, I think we'll look back a year or two from now and say that those are the tools that made that really made BuddyPress take off, because it made it so much more approachable for the larger community of WordPress devs.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably a good point too. And yeah, I mean, it's BuddyPress is still in its infancy quite a bit, right? I mean, it's only a few years old versus WordPress that's, you know, 8. Right. So even just in terms of like calendar months, we're about where WordPress was at that point too.
Still some big numbers lately. What was it? About a month and a half ago, across the million download mark, which is a huge milestone for any project, let alone a WordPress plugin.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
There had to be some sort of collective shots or whatever celebratory methods going down that day, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
What's always amazes me about the it's not so much the getting past a million was personally I was very excited to see that happen, but what always has given me so much motivation is to look on the WordPress.org page, look at the total number of downloads we get in a week. And it's just over 8,000 for last week. So, even, you know, not all of those 8,000 downloads will be people setting up new sites, but it's good that we appear to have, like, this sort of constant stream of new people checking out the plugin. So clearly it's something that some people want. So I think that sort of week-to-week stat is kind of more interesting to me than the overall all-time total.
Right. You know, I was taken back by something you said the other day, Paul, that, you know, it says something about the nature of the BuddyPress as an ecosystem of its own, that you can go and search on these, like, these freelancer sites, you know, where people post their jobs. And BuddyPress is actually like a category. I mean, it's like it's a whole group of things that people are looking for. So that's another kind of milestone that says more about BuddyPress uptake.
Yep. Yes, that is amazing. Yeah.
Of course, as there is uptake, there's obviously going to be some pushing and pulling where features are desired. One of the good questions pulled from the blog when we announced that I'm going to be talking to you guys sort of collected some questions. Tim Hyde said, congratulations on the progress BuddyPress has made in the last 12 months or so. He said, but there is one feature missing when compared to any other social network platform, one that keeps coming up over and over again with projects, clients, and users. We need a media component for BuddyPress to allow uploading of images, etc. Yes, there are plugins like BP Media, Albums, BP Gallery, and others, but most are underdeveloped, poorly executed, or simply don't do the job. We need a simple, elegant solution built into BuddyPress. Is it on the roadmap? If so, when?
Those are all good questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The short answer, I guess, is that because WordPress stores media in a very blog-centric sort of way, that trying to build something that would handle all like upload types and then be sort of switched to a user-centric way is very much like its own sort of animal, right? We start really talking about the inner workings of the way that WordPress works in a way that it just does not fit the way that we would need it to be in BuddyPress. And it was something that, I mean, even in the super, super early stages of development, was something that was a clear, something that we just were missing. And fortunately, plugins like BP Media, which are like the development version of BP Media, is awesome. Like, their team is doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't checked out the stable version in a while, but the development version is super awesome. And it's sort of through their work that we start really looking at what it is that we would want to integrate into core, because they have a team of people that are working on the media idea and still having trouble trying to pull all the pieces together. So it's tricky. And if we're going to do it in BuddyPress core, I think that we really want to do it sort of like as correctly as we can from the start, even watching sort of how people don't like the media component in WordPress today. Right.
Right. And I would echo everything that John just said. I mean, what John's basically saying is that it's really, really hard. you know, but it's technically and conceptually hard. I mean, it's technically hard when you start thinking about all the ways that we have to handle file sanitization. When you think about the way that, you know, when John talks about user centric versus blog centric, that's a really important distinction, because you know, think about your uploads, your WP content / uploads folder. I mean, that's one sort of monolithic place. But in BuddyPress, you might want a piece of content associated with, let's say, a group in addition to a user, or you might want it associated with multiple groups. And so you have all this metadata that lives over the top of it, that the metadata schema in WordPress, which is essentially the attachment post type along with its metadata, is not really sufficient for that at all. I mean, we would need our own entire schema. And that's not something to approach lightly. I mean, that's the conceptual side of it, because conceptually, you know, you may say, a lot of people come to BuddyPress and say, why doesn't it have this media component? That's what everybody wants. But, you know, BuddyPress is funny because it's used by a lot of different kinds of communities in really vastly different ways. So we might, for instance, go for one possible implementation of a media component would be something very Facebook centric, something very much like Facebook does it, where you have an activity stream and you have little buttons below the activity box and you just upload something, and it's very simple, very streamlined like that. That would work great for people who are running very Facebook-ish type communities. But then there are other communities who are using it for, let's say, an intranet, or let's say you're doing something like you're using the BuddyPress ScholarPress courseware in order to run classes, or you're using, you know, some sort of team getting things done, or some project management tools. In that case, you don't want just a sort of stream of consciousness. You need strict organizational tools. There are so many use cases of BuddyPress that for us to build something really robust would mean making decisions decisions that would by necessity be exclusionary towards certain use cases. That's very tricky. In order to, you know, the more power you build in, the more decisions you have to make, and the more decisions you make, the more use cases you preclude. And so I think we're a little wary of that. By having the BP Media team, who is doing, I'll echo John again, is doing a really great job, by letting them do a lot of that hard work, we are sort of seeing one way that this can be done in a plugin. And then I think after that's been used for a while, we're going to be in a position to better say, well, this is the thing that most people would want in a media component. And those are the sorts of things that we start to absorb into BuddyPress.
Yep, totally agree.
All right. Is there anything, like if you guys could maybe each, you know, what's the, I always mix them up. The I Dream of Genie is the cross, is the head bob, and the Bewitched is the wink, right? Nose twitch. Sorry, we started talking about old TV shows, and now I'm...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I apologize.
You know, neither of those songs have words, otherwise I would sing them for you, but I could hum the melodies if you wanted. Maybe later, maybe in the after show.
We might need a clip of that, too.
we're currently experiencing the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like, fingers together tying issue with the stream, so...
So if...
All of our witches covered, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. So if you could snap your fingers and sort of add something to BuddyPress that you personally would like to see, you know, whether selfishly for what you like to see done with BuddyPress, or I guess for the project, what would it be? Barring complexity, or, you know, assuming that all those problems could be solved and make most people happy with the answer, what would you like to see added? Or perhaps taken away? Start with Paul.
Wow. throw it at me. Yeah. What I would most likely prefer to see is admin control panel sort of content. Since the earliest versions of BuddyPress, we've really had all the content's been created and viewed on the front end. And for people running the site or for moderators on that site, they've also had to try to manage and police that content in a way that is not best suited for them, because the front end suited for users and it's not suited for your, you know, for the staff running a website. And people I've spoken to at WordCamps and my current job, we're on a BuddyPress site, we have quite a high-ish volume of traffic of new people and new content being generated, and we find it very hard to kind of easily manage that content in an efficient manner from a back end. So if I could snap my fingers, for 1.6, which we're building, I snap my fingers and we've built an activity kind of activity admin panel and a back end. So it's sort of the first step towards that. But if I could snap my fingers, I'd like that better controls for site, for people who actually run the sites. I'd like that everywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
I also agree. I think that'd be awesome. What about you, John?
Mine is sort of a segue into one of the questions that I know that we had in the blog.
All right.
Is I really want for theming BuddyPress to be like, like you don't even think about it. Like it comes with just sort of a default set of parts that fit into whatever theme that you have currently.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can sort of optionally just drop in different parts into a child theme or something and have it just work and override like whatever little bit it is that you need. So BBPress sort of already does that now. But I think that would be huge for BuddyPress, because that's the biggest pain point that I think that I see the most often for your new user or someone who just is installing BuddyPress and wants to see what it does and how it works. They don't really have a real good way to sort of get their feet wet with it. Like your average user doesn't, because it takes over the whole theme. It takes over everything. And, you know, back in the day, that was sort of like the only way that it could really work. I think that was the only way that we, were able to build it. And, now I think that we're able to take advantage of a lot of cooler things that, if I could snap my fingers, we would sort of re-architect a lot of the crufty things that we have that were MU specific and build it out into being something that that sort of fits more of the traditional use case of BuddyPress and makes theming it super easy.
I like that one too. Boone?
Well, mine isn't so much a feature as it is a wish. As somebody who has probably built more BuddyPress plugins than anybody, I wish that the internal code base was more internally consistent, and I wish it were a little bit more like WordPress in a lot of its internal APIs. So I mean, just the way you pass arguments into functions, I wish it were consistent in order in every case. I wish you would have consistent ways of getting back the content. I mean, when it comes to, let's say, theming or something like that, so in WordPress, you have the loop and you have template functions like the title and the content. Well, we have similar ones in BuddyPress for each component. Say groups, you have the group or BP group name and BP group description. And then for members, you have BP member display name. So the functions are named differently across components. You have all this sort of internal inconsistency. I mean, the fact is, and you talk about snapping fingers or twitching noses, whatever the case may be, we would have to be very magical about it, because, I mean, the fact is that backward compatibility is really like my number one concern when I do development, and we can't just discard all that stuff, and some of the stuff will never be refactored, and that's okay. But in a perfect world, it would all be totally consistent, because that, again, is another hurdle for developers approaching BuddyPress. They look at it and say, wait a second, this works this way, this works just a little bit differently, and how do I get my head wrapped around this? So that would be my number one wish.
And I think historically we've sort of done a pretty poor job of maintaining backwards compatibility between the major versions, between 1.0 and 1.1 and 1.2. And 1.5 was probably, there was a lot of changes, but surprisingly, considering the amount of them, like very little seemed to have started on fire or blown up. And like we try really hard to maintain backwards compatibility, but it's really hard for something that's sort of still in flux to do that. And I say hard, not like it's something that we can't solve, but I say hard where it just takes more time for a team of, you know, three people and that are all sort of volunteers to try and pump it out.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, would you say that 1.5 was the sort of biggest major release of Buddy Press?
It was. It was certainly the longest.
Yeah.
The longest, yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of internal stuff that we, like a lot of very, very like root level changes that we had to make to sort of pave the way for future versions of Buddy Press, I think. Like Boone mentioned the BP component class, and just some other sort of bits and pieces that, I mean, lots of getting rid of lots of debug notices, lots of just code forging, you know, to make sure that it was solid enough for people to be able to rely on and build on without it throwing 100 notices in when WP debug is turned on, or, you know, plugin compatibility issues with other plugins and things like that. So that was pretty much what 1.5 focused on, was just kind of solidifying and smoothing out the way that just the code worked versus being like a super heavy feature release.
See, I mean, from my vantage point, it seemed to be a really well-received release. It seemed, in particular with as much going on sort of under the hood, I think it's certainly impressive that, like you said, not a lot of stuff blew up.
Well, all the way up to 1.5, it was pretty much feature after feature, right? We kept shoving more stuff in. And for 1.5, I think that we kind of just took a step back and really tried to clean up as much stuff as we could to just make it something that, you know, people felt they could trust versus it being something that, you know, was awesome and did sort of what they needed, but it was really difficult to develop with, so.
And I'd like to take a second to thank one of our sponsors for today's episode, and that's Raft.io. which is an upcoming web-based service and system that Sean Smith and his team have been putting together to make managing lots of WordPress and other types of sites a bit easier. It's a common problem that I think has come up in the last, really, it's become more prevalent in the last six to 12 months, really. And it's not something that multi-site can always solve or should always solve. So we've seen different services popping up. Raft is coming along soon. So right now, if you go to their website, you can show your interest and join the mailing list and find out when they launch. And sounds like it's coming along pretty well. So that's raft.io. And obviously very grateful that they are supporting the podcast at WP Candy. So, John, you and I kind of talked about this when I interviewed you, I think, a month or two back. I'm curious to get the other guy's opinion on it. How much of Buddy Press, maybe confusion or hangups that people have, do you think is technical versus how much is conceptual? Do you think that, you know, people just kind of misunderstand how to use it, or is it really just difficult to use? You know what I'm saying?
I have a short answer. Is that it's probably hard to use, and it's probably our fault. Well, and conceptually, I think that people dream big when they see what Buddy Press can do and then are disappointed that it can't do the rest. That's my short answer. Boone, go.
Yeah. Well, I think it's both. I think it's both technical and it's conceptual. I mean, it's technical in the sense that Buddy Press just has a lot going on. You know, and again, to compare it to WordPress, WordPress has a couple different kinds of content. It has posts and post types. It has metadata for posts. It has taxonomies. It has users. And that's about it. I mean, that's the end of all the content types in WordPress. And so you have a couple different kinds of sets of functions to learn and the relationships between them, and that's it. Now, BuddyPress, on the other hand, has three times as many or four times as many or five times as many content types. So just in terms of sheer size, there's no question that there is more complexity to some of the functions. I mean, and there's just a lot of functions to learn. There's a lot to learn. The code base is really large. So from that point of view, I can see how that's definitely makes the barrier for entry at least seem quite high. I think that it has also sort of been our fault, as John mentioned, everything's our fault. The that the documentation has been less than complete, partly because BuddyPress is in flux, partly because we don't have a huge community of people who are contributing documentation, and partly because the core devs were used to be quite lazy. Well, lazy is the wrong word. Just sort of, but like, you know, it was more important to get things working than it was to like have the code be very clean and to have it readable and to put it in line documentation. That's really, really, really improved over the last year or so. So anybody who's new to BuddyPress and opens it up would not be saying, I have no idea what's going on here, because it is just chock full of beautiful inline documentation. It's not, we don't have, I really think that. I mean, it's not 100% covered or anything like that. But if you compare version, let's say 1.2 with version 1.5 in terms of the inline docs, it would be an amazing comparison just in terms of the sheer amount. So that's sort of the technical stuff. Conceptually, I will say, so I'm a full-time consultant, and I work with a lot of people. Almost every one of my clients is a BuddyPress person or is interested in using BuddyPress. And I do mostly stuff with schools, and so they're largely in the same container in terms of the ways that they want to use BuddyPress and the ways they think of the different parts of BuddyPress. But I also do some other sort of commercial stuff, and some I work with a couple of startups who are using BuddyPress. And I have to say that BuddyPress, it's easy to oversell what BuddyPress can do in the sense, because I mean, BuddyPress is really great, and it is sort of social networking in a box and all of these things. But because social networking and a social networking site can mean so many different things to so many different people, there's simply no way that one piece of software, no matter how well designed it was, could do all of them out of the box for everybody. I mean, Facebook, to take Facebook again, Facebook does what it does well, but it wouldn't work for other purposes. I mean, it's made to do what it, you know, to connect members of families and close friends and stuff like that. And that's what it's made to do, and that's it. Twitter is made to do another thing, and that's what it does. BuddyPress, we try to make it a little bit more general. And when you make it a little bit more general, then you have to, you offload a little bit of the work onto the end user, because the end user has to make some of the design decisions and some of the, decisions in terms of the verbiage that they use on their sites and the words they use for their navigation. Those kinds of decisions have to be made in the end by the site admin, because the site admin knows best how they want BuddyPress to serve their specific goals. So we're building something sort of at a level of abstraction slightly above what Facebook is, because Facebook is an app that is built for their very purpose, for very specific purposes of Facebook community. Whereas we're building something that's a little bit more of a general tool, and it has to be implemented in specific cases. And so that, I think, is disappointing to some people, but that's also part of what makes BuddyPress so powerful. If all that it did was power niche communities, like John's old community had to do with the, like, a particular model of Honda. I mean, if that's all it did, or like, let's say I love dressing up poodles in skirts, and so I had a little website about it in the community. I mean, that's all BuddyPress.
So you're saying let's just assume that that's
Let's
Not
just
the case.
Let's okay. just say that that was the case, mm-hmm. right? I mean, totally mm-hmm. hypothetical, totally hypothetical. Then
I've seen his
then
poodle; it's pretty cute.
Yeah, John.
well, I'll just say it.
So I think it would be much easier. Our job as developers would be much easier if we had one use case in mind and we built BuddyPress for that. But we don't do that. I mean, we're trying to build it so it works for a lot of different use cases, but that does mean a little bit more work for the person who's actually building the specific site. So that I think is a sort of conceptual gap between people who want the panacea. They want something where they turn a key and they have exactly what they want, or they install one or two plugins and have exactly what they want. And the reality, which is that, you know, it's a general piece of software, and that's because social networking itself is a concept that has many gradations and variations. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing about BuddyPress. I just think that's the nature of the beast. That's the thing we're trying to build is, in a sense, impossible to really build in a full way.
Yep.
Should probably get that into the masthead somewhere. But the thing that we're trying to build is probably impossible to build. You want to set expectations.
Download counts skyrocket, right?
Well, and it's one of those things to think about, like, when BuddyPress was MU only and it was a bunch of folders that had to be in MU plugins that had root files that lived in MU plugins. And a lot of what BuddyPress was actually did live in wp-admin, because the theme engine for WordPress just wasn't, I mean, robust enough really back then to handle all the things that BuddyPress was doing. originally, like when it was just Andy working on it, that's exactly what Buddy Press sort of was, right? But it just, that wasn't what people wanted. It wasn't what people, like, people want to run their own community. And by, when they want that, they want to be able to customize it. They want to be able to trick it out and turn it into whatever, whatever bit that, that they want it to be. And in order to do that, like Boone said, you end up like relinquishing a lot of control and a lot of the decision making off to, the end user. Totally agree.
Question here from Bo from the blog. He said, with the release of BB Press 2 and Buddy Press 1.5, everything seems to be in place to bridge the two. Steps have been made to pull this off, and testbp.org already has this working. Any estimation when this will be released to the public?
Ooh, I'll answer that one. So probably soon. Transitioning from the old version of BB Press to like what will be 2.1 is actually sort of tricky in a lot of weird ways. And the biggest part of it is just migrating the data, into custom post types. And now that that major portion of it is done, the rest of it is sort of just putting a nice, happy layer on it to make it look pretty and work well, you know. The biggest part is the group forum migration, and that part of it is also like even conceptually sort of done. And most of the guts to make that work and function are complete. It's just getting out some of the cruft that's kind of maybe a little bit ambitious for the first release that I have in there. Getting rid of that and then just going for feature parity between what we have now and what the next versions will have. I really want for a beta of 2.1 to be out probably within the next week or two, because we still have to move bbpress.org over. We'll have to move buddypress.org over. So there's going to be a lot of little migrations that'll have to happen at the same time. And that'll be probably the best way to dog food the way that it works. Just by doing it myself on our own site. So once BB Press goes into beta, then it won't be very long before Buddy Press goes into beta too. So they'll probably do like a tandem sort of release, because they'll rely pretty heavily on each other, at least for 1.6, and then eventually they'll be able to sort of function independently.
Yeah, I'll add to what John just said, that I want that we're going to have to be very careful as the leaders of the Buddy Press community to publicize this correctly, because,
right.
BB Press 2.x. BB Press 2.x is a totally different piece of software. I mean, it's called BB Press and it is still forum software, but it is not the same piece of software at all. It's totally different from the old BB Press. So that means that all of the Buddy Press plugins that are written to do cool things with forums right now using the old BB Press, they won't work with the new one. Maybe I shouldn't speak too soon. Maybe there are some that will, but I don't think that any of them will. And so this is a situation where it's probably going to be a migration that takes some time, you know, where a lot of these features that people look for that they've already got implemented on their sites running on the old version of BB Press, they're going to wait to migrate to the new version of BB Press until that new feature has been implemented in the new BB Press. So we're going to be maintaining both sides of both of the BB Presses, at least in a sort of rudimentary way for a little while. So yeah, that's my big concern. I mean, again, as a person who consults on a lot of people who are running very big sites and are going to flip their lids if they just hit the upgrade button and all of a sudden all their customizations. So that's a publicity issue. It's not a technical one. It's just that we have to make sure that people understand that you're really moving to a different piece of forum software. And so frankly, BB Press 2.x has a lot of the things built into it that people used to run BB Press plugins for. So I think that it's not going to be that bad. People just have to be aware of it.
Yep.
So were all three of you involved in the sort of Buddy Press Codex revamp?
That was pretty much all John, I think. Paul, did you have anything to do with that?
Just a little bit to so the tiny part I helped John with was when you make a page edit. we poke, you know, an excerpt of that page edit into the activity stream. So I just wrote a little bit of bridge between page editing to show in the activity stream in the format that we needed to. But yeah, John did all the hard work on that.
Because I know since that was or since that kind of went live, there have been a lot of questions about people. Well, people want to use it. People right. want to use what you made. Is it something that, you know, could be released that way, or is it still too
so the,
specific?
The sort of the underlying code that runs that is actually part of something that we use internally at Automattic for our own sort of so we call it a field guide. Is pretty much what it is. It's sort of like lessons that other people have learned, some ways that like the way that we work, the way that we do things, sort of like an intro to new automaticians. Some of the taxonomy stuff isn't in there, but it was pretty much breaking that out and trying to make it a little bit more modular so that eventually we can start turning that into like a real plugin of some kind. Cause it actually runs almost the same identical code for the BuddyPress codecs and the BBPress codecs. There's just sort of two copies of it, one on each site. So to be able to turn that into a plugin where other people could use it would be awesome, because it would get more eyes on the code and it would help people sort of shape the way that even the .org project, at least the BBs, the way that their codecs look and the way that they feel and run. So absolutely. It's another project that needs another set of time.
Sure.
Another job.
Something else that would of course affect release, and that would be the theme. We've never wanted to release any of the BuddyPress.org themes, really just to avoid confusion between what you get in a box and what it looks like on BuddyPress.org. So we'd have to sort of rebuild the I think it's a child theme on a codex. We'd sort of have to build a special kind of a documentation theme, which is an interesting idea.
Yep. I mean, the way that BBPress sort of works now is the way that I wish that we could start writing plugins in a way where we can just sort of write like content parts and sidebar parts and very easily have our own sort of rewrite rules where those things belong without having to include a header and a footer and a sidebar and do all of the sort of positioning and all the actual HTML markup. Because right now it's really hard to write a plugin that is just a codex, right? Or is just like just a friends or just an activity stream, because you have to do all this other HTML that doesn't match what other themes. I mean, you're only going to hit like 1% of the way that themes work. They have a wrapper div and they have a content div, and they have like, for any other theme framework, you're sort of out of luck. So it would be really awesome if we were able to do that in like a really smooth sort of way. But with right now, it's just hard. It's just, it takes more time than we have. We have less time and we have more projects. So if anybody wants to help out or wants to contribute time towards it, then let me know, ping me anywhere, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, I guess where does the project need contributors the most?
BuddyPress support. Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah. Totally.
Everywhere, really. I think documentation is super important, since we're compared to the WordPress codex, which has years and years worth of documentation
sure.
under its belt. And so you put us next to that, we just aren't there. So documentation, I think, is huge, is super huge. Code always, testers always. Design for like theme stuff is awesome, because it sort of revamps the way that BuddyPress works with one click. So having there be sort of new conceptual themes that don't work exactly the same way that BP default works, I think is huge. Anywhere.
I'll note on what John just said that in terms of these themes, for those who don't know, coinciding with the release of BuddyPress 1.6 will be a theme that's sort of been an officially developed theme by some BuddyPress contributors. It's called Status. It's going to be released in the WordPress.org repository as a BuddyPress theme. But it's really a nice, simple, streamlined theme that's heavily inspired. I don't want to say by Twitter, but it's really built around the activity stream. And that's been, like I said, developed by a couple of our best front end contributors to BuddyPress. And I think that's going to give a lot of people some ideas about, oh, here's how you build a very purposeful BuddyPress theme. And it's going to be built, Paul's been helping out a lot to make sure that it meets all of our BuddyPress coding standards. And it's going to be a great learning tool for a lot of people, in addition to sort of inspiring people to build themes along those sorts of lines.
Yeah, I just want to add to what Boone had, to what John said. I've just thrown up the status theme onto our BuddyPress test website, testbp.org. So leave it up there for a little while, for a few days, so everyone can check it out in advance of it being released. But in terms of contributors, I think, yeah, it's easy and kind of offhand just to say, yeah, we need more, you know, contributors everywhere, which is true, but I think we can do a lot more work with making the project more approachable to people who want to get involved with working on Core. And I think there's some kind of parallels with how the WordPress Core team work in the WordPress 3.4 release cycle. They've had these separate teams. I forget what they're called, and these individual teams of two or three people, and it's normally a couple of core contributors with someone, you know, who's had some experience doing patches, but not working on a future brand new piece of functionality, and they've kind of gone away on his own little projects. I think making BuddyPress more accessible to receiving contributions, especially BuddyPress in the sense of you download it from WordPress.org and you have your own BuddyPress. I think there's some fun stuff we can hopefully look to structure how we split up the tasks and source ideas, that kind of thing, for the next few versions of BuddyPress. So I'm sort of looking forward to getting started on the next big release, just to see if I can, you know, help turn any of these ideas I have into reality and see if they work for us.
I like the sound of that. I mean, as much as the download counts or the use within the community, I mean, at the point where the core contributor team is large enough to need to be split into groups to help organize it. That's a good sign.
It's a good problem, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Also, a hugely pressing question, when is there going to be a BuddyPress swag store? When's that happening? Just about as important as anything else, I think.
We do talk about that quite a bit. It would be really nice to do. I'm not really sure. It's
you should get Jane Wells on the show.
Yeah.
Talk to her about it. can we pass the buck?
Is that cool? Probably.
That's always allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something we've spoken about. I personally want to wear some BuddyPress branded stuff to WordPress meetups and WordCamps and to the office at work. So I hope something like that happens one day, yeah.
Well, and I've seen David Bissett. If people see him contribute in the BuddyPress.org forums or on Twitter or anything, as Dimension Media, he makes his own. He has his own T-shirts and stuff, and they're awesome.
Nice.
He doesn't sell them, I don't think, but the shirts that he makes that he wears to WordCamps and stuff they're really good.
Everybody's gonna picture David as a peddler of BuddyPress homemade materials at WordCamps.
I've got T-shirts, yeah.
Bootleg BuddyPress. Bootleg.
Oh, that's pretty funny. What's funny is whenever it comes up on Twitter, the list that people kind of just rattle off is, I'd like BuddyPress this, and this is it's far more elaborate and detailed things than are even available for WordPress.
Oh yeah, well, BuddyPress is close to people's souls, you know. I mean, WordPress is just a piece of software, but BuddyPress is a way of life.
That'll have to go up in the masthead. It'll have to be rotated.
Yeah, right. That's a better line for the masthead. Oh, thanks, Ryan.
We're going to have the biggest masthead ever.
Five lines, yeah.
There's going to be like a whole verse from the Perfect Strangers theme song in there.
And I'd like to thank the other sponsor of today's episode, and that's Typecase Pro, which is a WordPress plugin from the UpThemes team. And it's a plugin that allows you to tap into the over 500 Google fonts that are available through their service, and in a really kind of clever way apply them to certain typographical elements on your site. So I like it in particular because it's separate from a theme, so you can set the type control outside of a theme, so it's not a kind of fixes that bloat issue you sometimes see with themes. But it's also really clever. It comes with at least the pro version comes with a front end editor, so you can see the updates live as you sort of play with the options. And I think it's the perfect kind of solution for in particular the user who will want to tweak things like fonts and you know, want to be able to do it in a nice way. So it's pretty cool. I would check it out. It's at upthemes.com. And actually, if you check the WP Candy blog, we are running a giveaway this week. So if you'd like to snag a copy of Typecase, the Pro Edition, there is a free version if you want it. But if you want to grab a free copy, then check out the site, WPCandy.com, and join the giveaway to see if you can get a copy. Thanks to UpThemes and Typecase for supporting the podcast. We definitely need, there needs to be some sort of an Easter egg somewhere that just you click it and the rest of your visit you're serenaded by Boone. always a new jingle from the 80s.
I might submit that as a WordPress patch. Actually, I think that everyone would like to hear that.
I'm shocked it's not a plugin already. there's also another question. This, you know, to leave the serious topic of BuddyPress swag. It seems like anytime that sort of open questions are taken about BuddyPress, the issue of privacy comes up, which, you know, when you're dealing with social stuff like this, it's obviously going to pop up. One of the people in the comments, Mike, asked, he just had one BuddyPress specific question. He said, will core devs pick up BP privacy where Jeff Sayer left off, or are there any other future plans on adding privacy settings? And John, I think we kind of touched on this one with when we talked, I think a while ago, but I'm curious to know where things are now.
I'll let Boone talk because he put something into 1.6 that's actually kind of neat.
Sure. So the things that get built are often the things that our clients need built. So I was working, I have a client who needed something in the way of profile privacy. So you have to remember that BuddyPress has a lot of different kinds of content. And so there's a lot of, when people say privacy, they could mean a lot of different kinds of things. But what this client in particular wanted was the ability to say for each individual field in your profile, I want this to be publicly viewable. I want this to be visible only to my friends. I want this to be visible only to logged in users and so on. So I built it. That's coming up in 1.6. It's a pretty nice little feature. We're calling it visibility rather than privacy because privacy, again, is a loaded term that means a lot of things for different people. Sure. But the way that visibility works is that an admin can flip a switch that says that this field can have custom visibilities for individual users. So some fields like the display name, you would probably always want to be public. Certain fields like, let's say, your phone number, they may say, okay, allow custom visibility and let's set the default to friends only. Now, that means that on the front end, when individual users of the site go along and they fill out their profiles for the first time or they edit their profiles, then they'll be able to select from a drop-down list whether they want it to be visible to friends only, which is the default, or members of the site, or to the public. Now, so that's what's built in. It's also built in a way that it's extensible. So if you want to build your own visibility levels, like let's say, is a member of one of my groups. So that's like another way of conceptualizing who you might want to be able to see a field in your profile. You could write a little plugin and attach it to a few different filters, and it will that'll be added to the drop-down list. I've got a little plugin on GitHub actually that just demonstrates how you would build such a plugin. It's about 30 lines of code, so it's pretty simple. So that's coming up, and that's it's going to be a nice little feature for a lot of communities. I think that's going to respond to what a lot of people are concerned about, which is that I'm putting my name up there. It's getting picked up by Google. And so this will hide it from all of those sorts of things if you choose one of the stricter visibility levels. Now, there's a whole sort of slew of other privacy issues that we are not covering at the moment. Things like the activity stream, There's already some rudimentary visibility tools built in there that hide private group activity and stuff like that. But that is a whole other ball of wax, because then we're talking about really complex webs of who is related to whom in what way. So that's more along the lines of what Jeff's plugin does. And it's it introduces a lot of overhead to do that sort of thing. So it's something that we're definitely interested in doing. But I think that the technique or the strategy that we're taking for the moment is let's start phasing things in a way that doesn't add a ton of overhead, something that will respond to the concerns that a lot of the community has, and then we'll add additional overhead either into BuddyPress itself or as, you know, a plugin that that will address some of the additional concerns. So that's the strategy that we're taking right now. We'll see what people say about the new visibility features in 1.6. I think they're really going to like them, and I think it's going to make people feel a lot better in terms of privacy with BuddyPress.
Sorry, John, go.
No, go ahead. You go.
I was just going to say, we talk. It's not as if like Boone said, when there's lots of different types of privacy. We've had group privacy since 1.0 or 1.1 or something very early, but it's so. And because we know it needs to sort of be kind of knit into the low levels of BuddyPress in a ways that allows different complexities of visibility and that kind of thing. It can be a challenging issue to think ahead. And I think if BuddyPress worked on a 10-user site with the privacy like this, would it scale? Would it work on a site with 1,000 users logged in at the same time? And then you go, would it scale this new privacy edition with whatever theoretically you might have? Would it work well on a site with 1 million people logged in at the same time? So we kind of got to look into the crystal ball a bit for some of this. So it's something that we talk about quite often. We never ignore it, because like you say, we do get quite a few questions. I second what Boone said, and that we kind of start small and see where it goes.
Right. I think the reason it's a challenge is because WordPress's sort of like role-based access control doesn't yield itself very well to scaling to, you know, robust privacy sort of equations. Like, can I see activity stream posts from friends of friends? Involves sort of querying the database like a ton of weird times, and all of like a user's capabilities are all stored in an array based on like the user and the blog. So just the way that WordPress is sort of architected doesn't make this easy. And the thing I think we've wanted to avoid, and the reason why we haven't really approached it, is because we kind of just want to avoid building a whole new thing again and then eventually wanting to have changed it or not have that thing around. With forums, we're able to offload that to a separate plugin. We're able to offload that now to BBPress. And privacy would be one of those things where it would be great to offload that to some other plugin for the sites that don't need it in BuddyPress, and that allowed it to scale as it needed to with a specific database schema or whatever else it needs. It's more or less just one of those problems that it would be really awesome if we could contribute something more upstream to WordPress core than to have it be something that BuddyPress needs to own the entire time.
So do you think that there's been talk this last week, and there's been mentions of the idea before, but it's really kind of starting to come together now, the sort of more opened up community summits where people are going to be sort of recommended to come to some sort of a meetup, you know, on a slightly larger scale for members of the community. Do you think that there's room for a BuddyPress-centric meetup maybe to be spawned from that, or do you think it's still best to just fit those within WordCamps themselves? Because it seems like, you know, a number of times we've said, just talking in the last hour, that the people who are into BuddyPress are really into BuddyPress and depend on it and rely on it and use it. Are there any talks or thoughts about something BuddyPress-centric in terms of a meetup in the future?
It always makes me smile when the idea comes up. Like, This is, this
awesome,
is me
yeah.
smiling through the internet, you know, where it'd be really great.
Yeah.
Where if the community was to the point and large enough where someone wanted to throw together, like, this is a Buddy Press only thing, I would be totally down for it. That said, I think what would be the segue towards that is to have like a plugin camp, just a general, you know, let's just talk about all of the cool plugins specifically. And we can talk about, you know, it could still be like a WordCamp where there's a user track and how to pick a plugin and how to use a plugin and which ones are their favorites. And then you can have a developer camp where developers can talk just about the plugins that they're writing, because there are so many of them now. And there are some that do like just amazing things on top of WordPress that, well, like WordPress, the project is amazing and great and enables us to do all these awesome things, that the power tends to be in the plugins. And well, lots of at WordCamps, we end up talking a lot about plugins, not even so much about WordPress, but about the plugins that we're building. So eventually for it to just get to a point where plugins can have their own conference and core can sort of still be all of the things, and when WordCamp can still sort of be all of the things combined, I think that that would be like a stepping stone towards BuddyPress sort of having its own neat sort of meetup and conference and things.
Well, I won't be as dismissive as John is. I mean, I think that we could, I mean, if somebody wanted to organize it, I would totally go. I don't know how many people would go. I mean, I can't imagine. It wouldn't be like, it's not going to be like 1,000 people, right? I mean, but I can imagine like a 50 person thing for a day in like a central location in the United States. I think it would fill up, because there are people, like John has said and like I've said, the people who are using BuddyPress are really using it in an intense way. It forms, unlike some other plugins, when you install BuddyPress, in a sense, your site becomes about BuddyPress in both a good way and a bad way. But it means that BuddyPress is central to the way your site runs. People are really into it. I think people would travel for it. I sure would. So, I mean, if somebody out there is enterprising and likes organizing events, I prefer to organize code. But if you like organizing events, then you should go ahead and do it and send me an invitation, and I would love to come. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. Which when I've been going to WordCamps in, I live in the UK, and I went over to the Netherlands for the WordCamp back in March, I think it was. And I was asked by a few people there, you know, when is there going to be a BuddyPress WordCamp? And it's something that people do ask me all the WordCamps that I pop to around this part of the world. So in addition to being Central American one, we're definitely the Central European one.
Well, we can have it in the middle of the Atlantic.
We can do a Skype together, yeah.
Are you coming to New York, Paul?
No, maybe. Uh-oh. Probably not.
Oh.
It's money. It's money. If we're going to segue into WordCamps, I'm currently got lined up WordCamp Edinburgh in July, which is in Scotland, and I'm probably going to go to WordCamp Seville, which is in Spain, in September, mostly because of the weather, but I'm also hoping to talk about BuddyPress. So,
well, and then of course the BuddyCamp held on an oil tanker in the mid-Atlantic.
Yes.
Directly between the two continents.
Although there would be a lot of people down in Australia who would be pissed about that.
Oh yeah. I went over to Australia once and discovered there's a really strong pocket of BuddyPress users and, you know, big sites running BuddyPress over there. So we definitely have to go for a kind of a three-way triangulation and see where we end up.
If Andrea is not listening, then I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to submit like a WordCamp proposal.
Oh,
and for my sponsorship levels, I'm going to say they need like $1 million to rent an aircraft carrier, because people need to land. They gotta fly in, right? So, you know, in order for people to get there, we'll need an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, what are you going to do? The things come
the
up.
The first sponsorship level is $100,000.
Yeah, now,
the minimum buy-in.
It's something. Maybe not quite on an aircraft carrier, but it'd be very exciting to have this sort of BuddyPress sort of larger meetup, not really a meetup, like a small conference. We've had one or two in London in the UK. I've been to a couple of small BuddyPress meetups, and they've only been like sort of, you know, 10 to 12 people each one. But you know, it might grow one day. So yeah.
I think that there's a huge opportunity for, in like the academic space for Buddy Press to just sort of like it might not be a Buddy Press specific meetup, but it could definitely be you know, academic, it's basically just like school run sites that are using Buddy Press that could talk about the challenges that they have and their successes and what works and what doesn't.
That's happened before. There have been a handful of, they call them WordCamp Eds, and they've been officially sponsored. So, officially sponsored, but they've been under the WordCamp name. I don't know if there's been one in the last year or two, but I know that certainly in 2008, 2009, there were several of them. And when you go to those things, Buddy Press is like half the people there want to talk about Buddy Press. So,
yep.
I think that's an interesting point that those two would be a nice match for each other.
Yep.
It's definitely exciting. Not only, you know, seeing Buddy Press grow, but kind of like you were saying, John, just the idea that things could grow to the point where the conversation is more about the, you know, WordPress being used as a platform for all of these cool other, you know, apps and plugins or whatever being built on top of it. Awesome for the growth of, I'm trying to think for a good way to wrap things up. Cause I don't want to, we could probably talk all afternoon. I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time. Aside from the three of you, and obviously buddypress.org, what would you recommend to people as, I guess, good resources to dig further into Buddy Press, you know, wherever they are, or maybe even just, you know, the developers or the plugin projects that are really exciting and kind of good examples to base their work off of?
Well, it depends who you are. If you're a user thinking about using Buddy Press for one of your sites, what I would recommend is checking out some examples of Buddy Press in action. And there's a couple places off the top of my head where you can do that. First is on the buddypress.org showcase. So like wordpress.org, we have our own showcase. And it's got a list that's a little bit out of date, but it's still a great list of a variety of different kinds of buddy use cases of Buddy Press. Another one is called BP Inspire. I think it's bpinspire.com. Great website. I actually don't know who builds it off the top of my head, but it's a great website, and it's regularly updated with new Buddy Press, inspirational Buddy Press installations. So that's definitely one to check out if you are a designer or you are just wondering if Buddy Press is right for you.
I think BP Inspire is Bo and Maz, right?
No, that's BP Tricks. So BP, that's Bo. So BP Tricks, if you're a Buddy Press developer, is one of the sort of go-to places. It's not huge at the moment. I mean, it happens in fits and starts. So there'll be, you know, a period of a few months where Bo posts a new trick every day or every other day. And then there'll be periods where it's not updated, but that's a great one. BP-tricks.com. Then there are little pockets of Buddy Press resources all over the web. I'm having a hard time remembering now, but somebody tweeted a link to an article they'd written that really summed a lot of them up recently. So I'll see if I can find it, and if I can, I'll send it along to Ryan, and maybe we can put it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
But they're out there. We don't have great there are a couple of these sort of Buddy Press fan sites. I mean, that's what I'd call BP Tricks. But it'd be great to have a couple more that really coalesce around the community of developers and stuff like that, because our codex is growing, but it's nice to have the more the merrier, more information we can have out there from the more points of view, the better we'll all be.
And I think since like ThemeForest opened up their own Buddy Press theme category, is sort of introducing people a little bit more to the idea of how to theme Buddy Press differently, which I think was huge for WordPress. As soon as WordPress started having as soon as the theme selection grew, people are more confident and feel like that they can update their site and change the way that it looks on a whim, and it's a little bit easier. And since theming Buddy Press is so difficult, for anybody that's making Buddy Press themes and selling them for, you know, $25 or $50 or whatever it is, they definitely put a ton of time into making a good functional theme. And more than $50 worth of work went into making a Buddy Press theme. So I think that that's a huge thing too, and seeing more Buddy Press themes come up more will be helpful. But yeah, I think the showcase for sure, and the Theme Forest's demos and stuff are actually kind of neat too, just to get a feel for how they work. But I think it helps to sort of click around and see what a Buddy Press powered site can do. Above and beyond what it is when you turn the key and install it.
Any on your list, Paul?
Well, I think most of them have been covered. I'm not sure if it was mentioned, but I quite like looking at bpinspired.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems to be loading rather slow at the minute, but it's I'm not sure who runs it, but there's all sorts of people add and rate screenshots of different BuddyPress sites, and there's since there's 174 on there, or more than 174 on there at the minute, so that's another good resource if you just visually want to see what, you know, what people have done with it.
Yeah, we need to figure out who runs BP Inspire. I feel a little silly because I've always thought it was Bo, but maybe not.
No, it's not Bo.
No. Huh.
Because
it's been around for a while.
It's it's been on there for years, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you run BP Inspire, say hi. Hello.
People want to meet you. Well, cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess that does it for the round two. See, time just flies when you get talking about this stuff. I also wanted to mention, just talking about stuff to look at for particularly BuddyPress plugin developers. I think Paul's Achievements plugin is not just one of my favorite BuddyPress plugins, but favorite plugins, period. I would recommend that one to look at in terms of just a really cool, way to take advantage of BuddyPress.
Yeah, I tried to document it as best I could. I sort of learned how to. I generally learned how to document PHP with that release of Achievements. I sort of, that was on a to-do list before I released it, so that was interesting. But thanks for mentioning it. And it's a bit of a monster. So if you are totally new to WordPress and plugins and you want to learn how to add something to BuddyPress, just focus on WordPress first of all. Get basic things like actions and filters, under your hood, and then step onto BuddyPress, because it's a deep, there are some sharks and it's a deep swimming pool if you just dive straight into BuddyPress without knowing kind of how WordPress works on the hood.
You guys are killing the BuddyPress slogans today. We've got to write these down. I like them.
Swim with the sharks, BuddyPress.
Yeah.
You press F5 and get them run up each time. Yeah.
Oh,
get
terrifying.
Page views up. Yeah.
Well, you use Achievements on WP Candy, right?
I do. I use a lot of BuddyPress stuff on WP Candy that I've kind of left in the background for a long time while I play with it. So there's a lot there that isn't necessarily all pushed forward yet, or isn't all like obvious and in people's face, but there's a lot kind of boiling back there. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I like it. Good
stuff.
You only have
one achievement on your own site, Ryan.
Yes.
I'm looking at it now.
Yes. It is super lame. the proper test install has more though. Yeah. I do still do that sometimes. Well, hey, thanks guys for, being on the round table, and I appreciate you stick around. Those of you in the chat room who stuck with the weird buffering, not sure what the deal was, but everybody will hear it in about 20 minutes when this goes live on the site. So it'll all work out.
Thanks for having us,
Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I think the first of more than one.
Yes. There will be many more. And I think likely many more BuddyPress conversations, because this there's a lot more to it than you can possibly get to in an hour. So.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Thanks to you guys. And all of their contact information, I mean, if you're listening to this, then you should be following them already. If not, then that'll all be in the show notes and the blog post. And thanks again, guys. And we'll see everybody next week for another roundtable on WP Candy. Thanks.